You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is out today. Coming up, truckers are a part of a new line of defense against human trafficking. We look at a new initiative that's helping to combat that growing problem. First, this summer, the EPA issued a draft ecological risk assessment of atrazine, a type of weed killer that's sprayed on crops, especially cornfields. Some research is showing that this weed killer, even in lower concentrations, could be linked to health problems like cancer, and it could harm wildlife. But raising limitations on atrazine has also raised concern among some Wisconsin farm groups who've been using it for the last 50 years. A lot of farmers depend on it to improve crop yields and to control stubborn weeds. Jim Zimmerman joins us now. He's a corn grower from Rosendale and a director for the Wisconsin Corn Promotion Board. Jim, welcome to Central Time.
Yeah, thank you, Veronica.
Well, Jim, why do you think that limits on the chemical atrazine would impact the farming industry?
Well, reducing the limits beyond what they are would essentially, pretty much put it down to a level that would hardly make the product effective or worthwhile to a grower to go out there and actually utilize.
And I understand that crop prices are already low right now. Do you think this would have a negative impact on the yield of the corn, for instance?
Yes, that's part of the equation. And, we as growers, we have a limited number of products that we can use to be able to protect our crop. And any time that we remove one of those products, we are at risk. We're at risk both in crop production and also, because of the increase of weeds. And then, having to also use other crop or other crop protection products that are that could develop, a resistance too, because we're focusing or concentrating our use on those. So it comes in many different forms and fashion as far as about how it's going to affect the individual grower and the bottom line. But there's been several studies done as to what the net effect would be as far as eliminating the use of atrazine and as one of those tools that we can utilize. And it is talked about particularly from a weed resistance standpoint, being able to make some of the products that we utilize right now much more effective. Atrazine is one of the most effective products as far as controlling those weed resistant varieties that are out there. Anything that we can do to manage that, the better off we are, and the more effective we can be.
Is there another chemical or herbicide that could take the place of atrazine? You said it's effective, but is there anything else that could step in to bridge the gap?
Well, and that gets to the point of where we start putting reliance on less modes of action with different products. And atrazine has a mode of action unto itself.
What does that mean, a mode of action?
In the way that it controls the weeds. And some different products control the weeds from the root zone or different receptors within the plant. And when you start using different modes of action, then it's less likely to find a resistant varieties or escapes that would proliferate on you. And so the more modes of action that you use, the less likely you're going to develop or propagate or have weeds that are specific and develop a resistance to that particular mode.
We're talking right now with Jim Zimmerman, corn grower from Rosendale and director of the Wisconsin Corn Promotion Board, and we're talking about proposed limits from the EPA on the chemical atrazine. And Jim, the State Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection has said that atrazine doesn't cause immediate sickness, but that people who are consistently exposed to it over periods of time could develop reproductive and cardiovascular problems, and it could also harm fish and birds and amphibians. Cancer is one of the diseases that has been linked to it. So why aren't those convincing reasons to look elsewhere for a weed killer?
And when when we look at the information that's brought forward and look at the studies that are done, a lot of them have been very flawed, and that they aren't science that can be replicated and that that would be peer-reviewed. So a lot of those concerns are not actually what we would understand to be real. And you know, the EPA has, in the past, has done a very good job and as far as determining, setting the limits and controlling the use of products, the timing and whatnot. So, and there is that process by which, you know, they have already gone through the review processes and look at all of the documentation that's been done over the 50 years of its use and all the different scientific advisory panels that have been conducted on the use of atrazine, whether they're looking at it from many different environmental or ecological aspects. And they, you know, they, and I can only say there's been thousands of them that would show that atrazine does not pose a risk, you know, to the environment.
Well, if the science, as you see it, is shaky, why do you think the EPA is proceeding with these proposed limits on atrazine if they don't think the science is sound and they disagree?
Well, and that's my question, and that's what we are wondering, and why would they ignore all the past studies? You know, there's so many rich, large volumes of studies that that have been done, and again, there's, you know, in 2012 there was five different scientific advisory panels that talked about what risks there were associated with atrazine and what wasn't, and that has always advised that that atrazine is a product that is safe.
And one concern we haven't touched on yet is atrazine getting into drinking water, especially people who have private wells. And we know that this increased exposure, according to some science, and you may disagree with that science, but some science shows that this continuous exposure can result in long-term health consequences that are dangerous, things like cancer, for instance. So what kind of regulations do you think would need to be in place to keep atrazine from getting into people's water source?
Well, and that's what EPA does and has been doing since the beginning of the use of the product. And that is the direction that we as growers always follow. And my point is that through the 50 years of safe use of this product, that we have all been operating under, you know, those safe guidelines as put forth by EPA.
Is there evidence of atrazine getting into these private wells?
There has been some areas within the state in which there were some wells that showed an amount of atrazine getting into them. And that was done, I think that was done many, many, many years ago here within the state. And there are a few prohibition areas which we're working with UW Extension to, you know, see about what new rates could be used in those prohibition areas, as they have now fallen back from the levels of concern before.
And Jim, as we wrap up, a group of farm groups, including yours, they've been asked to contact the EPA and urge them to change their position. What kind of response have you gotten?
Well, we've gotten a very good response here this summer, and I know we probably exceeded over 10,000 different growers that have sent responses back to EPA to let them know that we've been utilizing this product in a safe, responsible way in the last 50 years, and it's done an awful lot in regards for us as far as being able to move into more conservation-type tillage practices and whatnot to be able to better conserve our soil.
Jim, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much, Veronica.
That was Jim Zimmerman. He's a corn grower from Rosendale and a director of the Wisconsin Corn Promotion Board. And he was with us there talking about why he hopes the EPA will rethink its proposed limits on the chemical atrazine.